Psalm chapter 78. I'm going to read that text verse tonight, and then we'll back up in the chapter and give you the thought that the Lord has put on our heart. I appreciate the Bible, don't you? Amen. Appreciate the fact that the Lord knows what we need. Even before we ask, the Word of God said that He said to ask, and we should receive. Amen. We want to, I think for the sake of time, I'm not going to read a whole lot of the verses to start out here, but I do want to give you a thought tonight where the Word of God said that they tempted the Lord in verse number 18 in their heart by asking meat for their lust. And then in verse 19, they spake against God. Can I just give you a thought tonight? How terrible would it be to be a people that God loved like He loved the people of Israel, and to be a people like God cared for, like He cared for the people of Israel? We're going to do some reading tonight in this chapter, and He's delivered them out of Egypt. He's taken care of them in the wilderness. How terrible would it be to speak against God that loved them that much? Amen. And the Bible said here, they spake against God, and this is where the Lord birthed this message in my heart, and they said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? According to the book of Hebrews, the Bible said that we're pilgrims, that we're strangers here on the earth. So I'm not going to be dogmatic about this tonight, but in typology, we've been saved by the grace of God, and the promised land really is not a type of heaven. There's still things, there's still an enemy in the promised land. There's still victories to be won, and I believe that the promised land in the Bible is a type of the victorious Christian life. But I do believe that God's people, the closer we get home, the more we realize this stinking world ain't our home. Amen. Amen. And that I'm enjoying life as much as anybody can enjoy life, I believe. I believe the Lord wanted us to have life and have it more abundantly. Wanted us to have joy and to rejoice in Him. Wanted us to live our lives for others. But I'm going to say this to the children of God tonight. You ain't seen nothing yet. You just wait, amen, till we step off on heaven's bright shore. What a day, what a glorious day that's going to be. But in the meantime, I want to talk tonight a little bit about this table that God has furnished. I'm not going to say, can God furnish us a table in the wilderness? I'm going to say God has furnished us a table in the wilderness. And I want to look at some things concerning that tonight. Pray with me, please, and for me. Father, I thank You tonight for our precious people that have gathered here around the Word of God this evening. And I pray, Lord, tonight that we could say something, Lord, that would just be an encouragement, Lord, to the children of God, that would challenge us, our Father. Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, if someone needs to trust You as their Savior, Lord, I pray that this would be the evening that they would do exactly that. Lord, we pray tonight that You'll manifest Your presence and Your power in this service. Lord, I don't have a whole lot on the table tonight, but I believe what's on the table is important. And I pray, Lord, that You would just help us, Lord, as we break the bread of life this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning I spoke of a man by the name of Jonathan Edwards. And I ran across this, and how I never ran across this before, I don't know. But I believe God lets us run across things in His time. And I believe this is a man, I believe this fits with the message tonight, because I believe this is a man, when I read these resolutions, I believe you'll understand that I believe this is a man that frequented God's table, that he spent some time with God in the Word of God. And I want to take the time tonight to share this with you. I hope it'll be a blessing. He said, and again, his life was between 1703 and 1758. He died with smallpox, so what would that make him, doing the math? Would that make him 55 years old? Is that right? Is that correct? Or 58 minus 3? Yeah, that'd be 55 years old, wouldn't it? So he wasn't very old at all. Let me give you what he said here. He said, being sensible that I am unable to do anything without God's help. Ain't that a good way to start a resolution?
Amen.
He said, I do humbly entreat him by his grace to enable me to keep these resolutions so far as they are agreeable to his will. For Christ's sake, he said, I will remember to read over these resolutions once each week. Resolved, he said, that I will do whatsoever I think to be most to the glory of God and my own good, profit, and pleasure in the whole of my duration, without any consideration of the time, whether now or never so many myriads of ages hence. I resolve to do whatever I think to be my duty and most for the good and advantage of mankind in general. Resolved, he said, never to lose one moment of time, but to improve it in the most profitable way that I possibly can. Resolved to live with all my might while I do live. Resolved never to do anything which I should be afraid to do if it were the last hour of my life. Resolved never to do anything out of revenge. Resolved never to speak evil of anyone so that it shall tend to his dishonor more or less upon no account except for some real good. Resolved to study the scriptures so steadily, constantly, and frequently as that I may find and plainly perceive myself to grow in knowledge of the same. Resolved never to count a prayer, never to count that a prayer, nor to let that pass as a prayer, nor that as a petition of a prayer, which is so made, then I cannot hope that God will answer it, nor that as a confession, which I cannot hope that God will accept it. Resolved to ask myself at the end of every day, week, month, and year, wherein could I possibly, in any respect, have done better? Brother John, when I read that, I thought about the morning you taught Sunday school, and I believe you made a statement like this: I believe we could all do better. Resolved, now watch this, please listen to this, resolved never to give over, nor in the least to slacken my fight with my corruptions, however unsuccessful I may be. Can I read that one again? Resolved never to give over, nor in the least to slacken my fight with my corruptions, however unsuccessful I may be. Resolved after afflictions, Brother Brian, the lesson this morning, to inquire, what am I better for them? What good have I got by them? And what I might have got by them. Resolved always to do that which I shall wish I had done when I see others do it. Let there be something of benevolence in all that I speak. I'm going to tell you, that's a page full. Excuse me. That's a page full that I believe came out of a man with a heart full. Amen. May God help us. I'd like to call your attention tonight to the Lord's table here. Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? By the grace of God, I'm turning that around and just speaking on the subject. God has furnished a table in the wilderness. Let me give you four simple thoughts tonight and we'll go home, the Lord willing. First of all, tonight, if you back up to verse number 1 in the chapter, we're going to stay in these first 20 or so verses, I believe. There may be a few more than that, but the Bible said, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth." He said, "I'll open my mouth in a parable, and I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us." I just believe tonight that the Lord's table that he's prepared is a place for you and I to sit down and listen and hear this precious old book, the law of God, it's called, the statutes of God, the word of God. I believe it's a place that you think about the table where God wants us to gather around with others and gather around with him and hear the precious word of God. I believe the table, that God's table, is not only a place to sit down and listen. And I want to say something tonight. Just these little things that God has given us here tonight. It's no wonder the enemy doesn't want us to come to the table of God. It's no wonder that the enemy wants to do anything that he can to distract us or detour us to go around the table of God. Because he knows if we come to God's table, we're going to be the better for it. And somebody else is going to be the better for it. And God's going to get the glory for it. Amen. And the enemy doesn't want any of those things to happen in our lives. And so this just came to my heart. We're going to Abingdon tomorrow. Brother Jimmy and myself up there where they're making the sign. There's a man that works in there that designs those things and that's lost. Will y'all pray that maybe God will give me something off of his table that will speak to his heart. Amen. Would you do that? I believe that's important, don't you? Amen. Pray the Lord will direct our heart. The Lord's table is a place to sit down and listen. But the second thing the Lord spoke to my heart about here, if you look on down through verse number 4, the Lord's table is not only a place just to sit down and hear and listen, but the Lord's table is also a place to share. He said here, "We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done." He's established a testimony in Jacob, appointed a law in Israel when he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. Watch this. Watch the reason for all this. Why? Why should we share from God's table? Why should we share with our children? Because it's God's will and God's design and God's desire that our children would not set their hope in the government, not set their hope in their education, but they would set their hope in God. Look at verse number 7, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. I believe there's a lot going on in this world, beloved, that's just trying their best to get our children, get all of this. Listen, they think we're brainwashing children when we teach them the Word of God. Amen. I'm going to tell you, I've been instructed in the Word of God to teach my children the Word of God. Amen. And listen, the Bible said we ought to fear God rather than man. Amen. I don't believe we ought to worry about what the world's saying about teaching the children the Word of God. I believe we ought to bring them in. I believe we ought to gather them around the table of God, and we ought to pass on to them what somebody passed on to us. and be glad about it while we're doing it. Amen. The table of God, it's a place to sit down and listen, but it's also a place to sit down and share, that they might not be as their fathers, the word of God said, a stubborn and a rebellious generation that set not their heart aright, whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Beloved, the Lord's table is a place to sit down and listen. It's a place to sit down and share. But listen, the Lord's table, listen, number three, this is how God spoke to my heart. It's a place where some refuse to gather. There's some that are never going to come to the Lord's table. I want to show you in the Bible what I'm talking about. And there's reasons given right here in the psalm. They're invited. Say amen. That's what we're doing. Jesus said there was still room. He said, go into the highways and the byways and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. They're invited to the Lord's table, but they don't have any interest in the Lord's table. Watch what the Word of God said here. Why is it, preacher? Well, let me tell you some things that will keep you from the Lord's table. Number one, unthankfulness will keep you from enjoying the Lord's table. I'm going to give you a text tonight. I pray if God doesn't do anything else in this service tonight, He would drill it into our hearts that we need to be a thankful people as the people of God. Watch what I'm saying tonight. The Bible said here in verse number 11, they forgot His works and His wonders that He had showed them. How in the world do you forget that? How in the world do you forget, beloved, the water going that way and forming a wall, and the water going that way and forming a wall, and crossing the Red Sea on dry ground? How in the world do you forget that? And here comes Pharaoh and his army, and God said, okay, that's enough, and He closed it up and drowned Pharaoh and his army in the sea. How do you forget that? How do you forget getting up every morning, and God's rained the manna down, and it's there on the frost, and you get to gather it? You can't wait, beloved, till up in the day. Amen. I believe there's a truth right there. You can't wait till up in the day when that sun comes out, beloved, listen, and bakes it. It's too late. You got to get it early. Get it early in the morning. And you get that manna that God rained down, that heavenly food, amen, that coriander seed that God said was sweet like honey. Can I tell you, this precious old book is sweet. And the reason, beloved, that many will never come to God's table is because they're unthankful. Listen to what the Bible said. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Y'all know what that chapter is about, don't you? Listen tonight. I'm not here to preach about all that, but I'm here to tell you the danger of an unthankful spirit. The Word of God said over there in Romans chapter 1, verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. You say, preacher, why do we have all this immorality? Why is sodomy running rampant? Why is same-sex marriage running rampant? Why are people shacking up and not getting married? Why are people living out from under the fear of God and doing whatever they want to do? I tell you where it all started. America become an unthankful nation. Amen. We don't even look up and realize where our blessings are coming from. The Bible said here, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. That's what the Word of God said. I'm going to tell you something right now. Even in Washington, D.C. right now, we've got some of the dumbest arguments going on you've ever heard in your life. I'm telling you, beloved, listen. Listen, I heard a good illustration today, and I thought it was a great illustration. You come and knock on my door, and you have a need. You listen to me. Beloved, if I can help you, I'm going to help you. But you come and knock my door down. Help me. That's a whole different story. I believe America is a great nation. I believe America is a compassionate nation. And if you knock on the door and want to do things right, I believe you can get some help in this country. Say amen. But today we just sit idly by and let person after person and person after person and group after group knock a door down. We're going to have problems. Neither were thankful. That's what's keeping a lot of people away from God's table. Unthankfulness, listen to me carefully, is sin. Sin. How many of y'all got a roof over your head when you go home tonight? That's a lot to be thankful for. Who was it this morning? Was it you, Brother Brian, talking about laying over the steam vent? Who was it talking about that? Was you in Sunday school? Somebody laying over the... I don't have to lay over a steam vent tonight. I said hallelujah. If I went to bed hungry tonight, it'd be because I chose to. Not because I have to. If I get up in the morning and I don't have clean clothes, it'll be because I'm not looking in the right place. Somebody help me. God's been good. The Word of God said here, they're not coming to the Lord's table. They're refusing to gather. They're unthankful. Unthankfulness will keep us from enjoying the Lord's table. The Bible said in verse 12, marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers, in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea, caused them to pass through. In the daytime he led them with a cloud, at night with a light of fire. He clave the rocks in the wilderness, gave them drink, gave them water out of the rock. He brought streams out of the rock. And the Word of God said in verse number 17, and they sinned yet the more. But it all starts. I believe that's what's going on in America, sinning yet the more. It all starts with an unthankful. Let me tell you something, beloved. Listen, I'm not real smart, but I know this. There was a day when sinner people had more respect for the things of God than a lot of professing God's people do in this day and hour that we live in. And I'll guarantee you, there was people praying that wasn't even sure that their prayers was going through when our young men was across the sea, amen, in World War I and World War II. Are you listening to me? And I'm guarantee you, beloved, that there were some thankful people in this country when they got off on that shore coming back this way. I'll guarantee you that when there was lives lost, that there was communities that come together and families that come together. And I know that's pleasing to God. But we're living in a generation today. If we don't pass this on, nobody's going to know what it is to bow your head over your food and ask a blessing. Say amen. If we don't pass it on to our children, our grandchildren, we need to be thankful. The Word of God said here, they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. They weren't thankful for what they had, always wanting something else. Beloved, I'll say this. I'm not trying to be mean tonight, but that's what's going on in a lot of churches. That's why this book ain't good enough anymore. That's why these songs aren't good enough anymore. That's why preaching like this is not good enough anymore. Amen. That's why it's not good enough anymore, Brother Mike, to stand and sing a song. Amen. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. That's why it's not good enough, because this world's looking for something else, something that stirs up the flesh. God, give us something to stir our heart and forget about stirring our flesh. Amen. There's enough in this world to stir our flesh. We don't need our flesh stirred. We need our spirit stirred. Stirred up in Him. The Lord's table, that's a place where some, they refuse to gather. Some will never gather at the Lord's table. Unthankfulness will keep you from enjoying the Lord's table. Secondly, unbelief will keep you from enjoying the Lord's table. Look in verse number 22. Because they believed not in God and trusted not in His salvation. I want to tell you something tonight. This world, the Bible said broad's that way. Many are there, going that way. Narrow is the way that leads to life eternal, and few there be that find it. I believe God's got it right. Amen. And according to the Word of God, unbelief will keep you from enjoying it. No wonder they had the audacity to say, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? I want you to know something tonight. God has furnished a table for His children. Amen. But I believe tonight with all of my heart, not everybody's going to come to that table. Unthankfulness will keep you from enjoying the Lord's table. Unbelief will keep you from enjoying the Lord's table. He said, though he had commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven, rained down manna upon them to eat, and given them the corn of heaven, man did eat angels' food. And he sent them meat to the full, caused an east wind to blow in the heaven. By power he brought the south wind. He rained flesh also upon them as dust, feathered fowls like the sand of the sea. And he let it fall in the midst of the camp, round about their habitation. So they did eat and were filled. He gave them their desire. They were not estranged from their lust. But while their meat was yet in their mouth, the wrath of God came upon them. I'll say this to you tonight. Sometimes God will give a people what they want, only for that people to quickly discover they don't want what they got. You and I that know God, we better pray that this nation don't get what it wants. That somebody looks up and gets more interested in what God wants for a people than what man wants for a people. The last thing here in this part of the message tonight, sin will keep you from enjoying the Lord's table. An old preacher said this. I'd give him credit if I could remember who. But he said, the Bible will keep you from sin. Or sin will keep you from the Bible. Can I get a witness right there? It might be the sin of omission, not doing what God wants you to do. Or knowing that something's going on in your life. I'm going to tell you something right now. If you're going to come to the Lord's table, you can't come with a pocket full of sin. Say amen. Not enjoy the Lord's table. It don't work that way. I'm glad it don't. I'm glad it don't work that way. The last thing I want to give you tonight, we'll go home. I didn't really find this in the scripture right here, but it just came in my heart. I'm not going to take the time to go to 2 Samuel. You'll find it in 2 Samuel chapter 9 if you want to read the story after a while. Many of you probably know the story. But the last thing I want to say tonight, as we head into a new year, the Lord's table is a place where you and I do not really deserve a seat. You said, preacher, I don't understand what you said. How many understands what I said? We don't deserve a seat at the Lord's table. I thought about, when God put this in my heart, I thought about David after that Saul had died and after that Jonathan had died. Saul hated David. He was jealous of David. He tried to kill David. Jonathan loved David. Those two guys, their souls, the Bible said, were knit together. They're both dead now. And David says this. He said, is there any left of the house of Saul that I might show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? Oh, praise God. They sent that servant down there, Ziba, down there in the Lodabar, that barren land. They found a fellow by the name of Mephibosheth. He was lame on his feet. And David sent for him. And David told him, said, all these others, the servants of Mephibosheth and the kinfolks of Mephibosheth, they give them places to go. But he said, as for this young man, Mephibosheth, he said, he's going to eat bread at the king's table. Then he said this, continually. Oh, dear God. It changes pulpit. It changes church. If we could just get to God's table continually, regularly. Amen. And when we get there, just realize, Brother Ralph, I don't deserve a seat at this table. You don't want to know why we're invited to the table? Because there's a Heavenly Father looking for someone to show kindness for Jesus' sake. Say amen. Beloved, tonight, I believe God resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. And I believe one of the ways that you and I can exhibit humility to our Father is just to realize we don't deserve a seat at this table. But we have a seat. That seat was purchased at Calvary. And when God saved you and God saved me, He wants us to put our feet up under His table. I believe these words would be fitting right here. He would say to us, come and dine. Amen. Come and dine. The Bible said, listen to this. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after what? I'm going to ask you a question. Is there another table anywhere in the world where you can find that? Only God's table in this wilderness. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Come to the table and I'll give you a snack. Is that what God said? He said they shall be filled. I believe that, Brother Steve. I believe God wants to fill us. Don't you? He wants to fill us. Can God prepare for us a table in the wilderness? Ah, forget about that. That's a bunch of unbelievers said that. We ought to be saying tonight, God has prepared for us a table in the wilderness. Let's pull up to the table. How many knows what it is to pull up to the table? How many knows what it is just to keep on operating even though you ain't pulled up to the table? Come on! Operating other Brother Steve in the energy of the flesh. That's exactly right. The energy that we need, the power that we need, will never come from the flesh. It'll come from God's table. Amen. I'm just glad you come tonight. Let's determine in our heart to walk with God. Because if we'll walk with God, I'll tell you what He's going to do. He's going to lead us over there to His table. He's going to set us down, and we're going to have a feast. Amen. At the table of God. Let's bow for prayer for just a moment. Father, we love You tonight. I pray, God, tonight that we would be encouraged, that we would be strengthened, we would be humbled tonight to know that the likes of us are invited to the table that's been spread by the likes of You. Help us, Lord, not to be like the children of Israel in this passage of Scripture, murmuring, complaining, unthankful. Truly, Lord, unthankfulness is unholiness. Help us to be, Lord, a thankful people. Lord, if we were to go tonight as Ms. Steve and I did yesterday down through the ICU ward, how thankful we ought to be. Lord, there's always somebody much worse off than we are. How thankful tonight we ought to be. Thankful, Lord, that we have a friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. Thank You for our friends in the gospel, our fellowship in the gospel. I pray tonight, Father, that you would lead us and guide us and direct us, and God, that you would protect us. Lord, many be going back to school this week, back to work. Help us, Lord. Spend some time at that table, the table of God, that we might go out into a world that's dark, cold. And Lord, bring warmth and bring light in Jesus' name. Amen.